there's this general conception, this conventional conception of being a separate human being in a world separate from oneself among others who are separate. The Newtonian billiard ball model, that we're a separate entity among other separate entities. That there are two. There is such thing as two, is a brief description of duality. And then non-duality would be no separation. Not two. And there appears to be a contradiction here in that. You're either two or not two. You're either separate or non-separate. The conditioned mind can have a very binary orientation, either or, right, wrong, yes, no, day, night. But non-duality is the realization of non-separation, that things only appear to be separate. Non-duality is about direct experience, not about theory. We use thoughts to unravel less accurate thoughts. But it's very much about direct experiencing. And in that we find only this, nothing separate, nothing individual. And in the world of appearances, interconnectedness, that even the appearance is nothing separate from the other, it's all connected. And duality, this appearance of duality, arises within and is inseparable from non-duality. We can picture the old analogy of waves arising within the ocean. The ocean represents the wholeness. And there's this appearance, wow, there's an individual wave. It was born in the Atlantic Ocean at this longitude and latitude. It grew up to be a glorious, beautiful wave. It encountered adversities. It had wonderful successes. It rose to a climax of its powers, and then it started to decline, and it passed away, resubmerging itself into its source. And so on a relative level, on a conventional level, we can say, yes, that is the wave. That wave had its own trajectory, its own birth, its own depth, its own death, but it was never separate from the water. It was never anything other than water itself. And in non-duality, we can't name what is. It's often called consciousness or awakeness or Satchitananda, awake beingness. But it's not separate. But it certainly appears that way. There certainly seems to be an appearance of different people here who have come on from all over the world with different lives. But just like the waves, the substanceless substance of what we are is not separate. There's nothing separate here. And something that's so important to me, as I often say, is life can seem really hard. I'm sure there's no one on this call that isn't experiencing pain in some way, or the apparent difficult experience of life. And that's included too. My brother just had an open heart surgery. And in the conventional sense, his life was on the line. They discovered something in his heart. They had to send him to a specialist in an emergency. And I was there in the waiting room, hoping that he would survive it. And there was certainly the appearance that I, Daniel, have a brother. And that I, Daniel, want this brother to live rather than die, to be well rather than to suffer. And I think in some circles of non-duality, that would be seen as, you know, a misconception, something to deny, something to try to see through as if it were a problem. And the idea here today is that in its infinity, everything is included within non-duality. The appearance of brothers, the appearance of wanting survival rather than death, all the emotions, they give such a richness to experience. They make it more possible for compassion to express itself, for love to express itself. And the idea is that in its infinite diversity, in its infinity, limitlessness, the non-dual, what is, can express itself in all of that. And if you look back at your life, it's often the wounds that you've experienced that hold the gifts that you have to share. It's often the wounds and the difficulties that you experience that allow you to be a bridge between yourself and others. Although we know there's no others, but in this dance, in this appearance of others, those apparently difficult experiences, that full range of emotion is what allows compassion to happen. And that's included too. This is not a dry, flat, purely logical inquiry where experience just becomes a flat line of pure awareness with no fluctuation. When you listen to a beautiful piece of music, often the fluctuation in volume is what makes it beautiful, as if it's turning itself up and coming to a crescendo, and then it's going down to a small whisper. And that contrast is the beauty of the music. So if you were to look at that turning up of the music and say, that needs to be fixed, we need volume control. Or the turning down, we need to turn that back up again and get it to where the conditioned mind thinks it needs to be. It's not seeing the whole piece. That moment is not a separate, isolated moment, but it's a piece of a tapestry. It's an apparent piece of a tapestry, which is a wholeness. So, as in reflecting on our lives, the openness to experiencing the full range of emotions is part of the depth and richness of life, and it's part of the way that we can connect with others, apparent others, which is connecting with our own self. And the appearance of duality allows for the appreciation of opposites. I remember Alan Watts talking about, could you imagine being in a heaven where the angels were singing eternally? There's just this eternal light, an eternal singing of angelic singing. At some point, you'd want to change the station, have a little diversity. And when you look at the yin-yang sign and see that this wholeness is made of the black and white, and that within the black is the white, and within the white is the black, it's all included. Experiencing joy in contrast to sadness, and experiencing the poignant aliveness of bittersweetness, where the bitter and the sweet are inseparable. I know I feel most alive in bittersweetness, because there's horrors in this world, and there's unspeakable beauty in this world. And then there's the indescribable, which doesn't separate beauty from horror, or it's just this. And it can also be, it doesn't have to be a surgery. It could be being at work and this sense of insecurity comes up. Have you ever felt a sense of, am I good enough? Am I enough? Am I being judged? Am I being judged? And if I'm being judged, I'd rather be judged favorably than unfavorably. It's so human. The human mind is conditioned and wired for that. And this inquiry is about awareness and understanding. Always starting and ending with awareness. There it is. This feeling, this tension in the solar plexus. This thought, I may not be good enough. Someone may not think I'm good enough. I prefer this to that. And ouch. I'm being judged. I'm being excluded. And making room for that too. Not coming to a conclusion about it, to say, I am this entity who is being judged. But just, that's the appearance in this moment. And it's okay. And when you look at it, it reveals itself as the unspeakable. When you really look, the me that's feeling insecure is consciousness. The thought describing insecurity or the sensation is inseparable from consciousness, permeated, soaked in consciousness. It's just the appearance consciousness seems to be taking. But there's room for that. This is not the model of sitting on top of the mountain, detached from everything. This is being on the mountain and coming into the village, into the bustling marketplace, experiencing heat and cold and apparent success and failure and up and down and black and white and things going your way and not going your way. The sense of self, the nonsense of self. It would be limiting consciousness to say it could only experience pure, contentless awareness. And certainly when we look at it, we realize the content is not what we thought it was. It's just the unspeakable. But in its infinity, it appears in this bursting diversity of a whole range of experience. And in Buddhism, we know we can't speak about this, but in Buddhism, they talk about relative truth or conventional truth and absolute truth. Certainly not an accurate model, but a way of looking at it. You know, what time are we meeting would be a conventional truth. There is no time would be closer to absolute truth. What is time? I feel sad. Could be a conventional truth. When you look at that sadness, there's no I, and we find sadness to be a construct, and we look through it and there's just pure this. But there's such value in that, just allowing oneself to feel, to directly feel. Or looking with eyes wide open at the sense of self that's arising. Or looking with eyes wide open at the way yourself or someone else seems to be suffering, and then touching it with consciousness. Not avoiding it, not denying it, not spiritual bypassing, where someone appears at your door bleeding and you say there is no one to bleed. No, you hold the person close and you help them with their wound. The starving person, you don't say there's no person to be starving, so I'll do nothing. You feed the starving person. It's part of the non-duality. And it's interesting that the appearance always happens within dualistic thinking, because the nature of the mind is that way. If you notice, if you just look at the screen, what is there? There seems to be color, shape, movement. But it's only the mind that says it's separate people. So the conception of duality, or the whole paradigm, comes from the dualistic thinking. Nothing wrong with it, just look. Pure perception. There's just this. But it's the mind that says, there's Daniel. He's from another state. And there's Don, and there's Jonathan, all coming in from different places. But that's the conceptual, the dualistic mind. We don't know what's here. We only know that this is here. Not this as opposed from that, just pure awareness, pure isness. And always underlying the true nature of whatever arises is this. In Buddhism, they would call it suchness. And so nothing needs to be reconciled, but we can use the term reconcile, you know, bringing together, seeing that duality and non-duality are not separate. They're conceptual. It's a concept. Duality is a concept. Non-duality is a concept. But just feel, be, sense, direct experience. Isness. Consciousness. And in that isness, just look for a boundary. Just look. Is there a boundary in isness? Or is there just isness? Is there a boundary, a separating, dividing line in consciousness? Just look and see. There's just consciousness. And it's only the mind, the thinking mind, that appears to create this duality. That spins a story. The story is exquisite, beautiful, horrible. But it's a story. It's based on language. It's based on conditioned thinking. It's based on making something into an object. But if you look, if just sense into direct experience, there's no object. There's pure subjectivity. And watch it emerge. Watch as from this unspeakableness, vibration occurs in the form of this voice. Is this voice separate from consciousness? Is it a separate entity from consciousness? Is it possible to be aware of this voice outside of consciousness? So in the silence or with the appearance of a voice, isness is. It remains whole. It's not dependent on the voice being there or not being there. The voice is inseparable from the isness, inseparable from the consciousness, inseparable from the silence, inseparable from the stillness. And this awakeness, this isness, is completely free. Nothing is foreign to it, including emotions, including fear, including desire, including what we could call horror, or that which should not be, including bliss, including experiences of oneness, experiences of no self, including experiences of self, of the mind appearing to be caught into identification. It's all made of the unspeakable. It's all made of awakeness. One way of saying it is we're always seeing the face of God. One way of saying it is everything is sourced as love, comes from love, moves through love, and resolves into love. That this consciousness is completely welcoming, accepting, warmly touching, embracing everything as itself. And then how precious and how beautiful to have the conversation with friends. As Nick has written so beautifully about, you know, that is the miracle. The miracle is not undifferentiated consciousness. The miracle is this apparent diversity. The miracle is not the conventional sense of enlightenment. The miracle is that it could seem that there's a getting caught. It could seem that there's limitation. That's the miracle. And so let's just rest and notice awakeness is here. Notice essential isness is here. Notice that separation is never perceived through direct experience. That the concept of separation is always a mental construction, a thought, a belief, an interpretation. Just notice that. That you, we'll use the word you, are wholeness itself, vitality itself, aliveness itself, beingness, isness itself. Awakeness itself. You're free. You are the love you seek. You are the clarity you seek. It's not possible to find it outside of yourself because there is no outside of yourself. It's here. Your nature.